With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The flagship station for your Boston Red Sox.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing.
Right up there, Ken, on the list of misunderstood lyrics. If you read that book, there apparently were many Jimi Hendrix fans who felt like he was singing "Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy."
Sounds like so. It.
Yeah, I actually have a list of the 40 most misheard song lyrics.
Yeah, is "Beast of Burden" on there from the Stones? Because I used to have a buddy who thought that was "I Don't Mind My Pizza Burning." But nobody wants burned pizza, especially when it comes to the roof of your mouth.
I think this is you who heard this from Starships. We built this city.
We built this city.
On sausage rolls is what the misheard lyric is.
We built this city on sausage rolls.
Right? Yeah. And then the other one from Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, saving his life from this warm sausage tea, which makes no sense.
Yeah, no. But that AC/DC lyric is misheard. If you go back and check,
I gotta go back and listen to it because I've never heard that. I mean, I've never heard the song.
You've never heard "Highway to Hell"?
I feel like I just heard the hook. Never listened to the song.
I mean, it's one of their most played songs.
It's what I call 93.
Yeah. This is Lady Jade from Twitch. Morning, Lady Jade.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
What are you calling about this morning?
I'm just calling to update you that we did receive your paperwork to ban Babylon. Oh. And there's a committee meeting at my house tonight to go over things for you.
Now, what is remind me what Babylon is being banned for?
You wanted to ban him. Oh, actually, you know, he started the ban movement one morning. I've kind of gotten lost in it all. It's very confusing. He's not very happy right now, honestly.
Well, I don't believe that. I mean, when it comes to Twitch, I don't believe who makes the determination about banning individuals. Is that the mods? Is that how that is decided?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's us.
And what is it basically that they do that can get them banned? Because I'm in there. I mean, it's often a dumpster fire. It seems like all kinds of things that are going on don't lead to a banning. So what is it that can lead to a banning from Twitch?
Honestly, peace, love, and understanding is my thing. And if you follow that, you don't. Like, there's no need for bans or anything. Just be cool.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, honestly, no disrespect to you and the others, but I feel like some of the mods may currently be drunk with power.
Whoa!
I don't want Babylon or anyone banned.
We call that a Ken around here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe in self cancellation when it comes to the cancel culture and the Rolling Stones, and I don't believe that Babylon or anybody else should be banned from the Twitch chat. So
I am actually going to put that down for the meeting, and really the only reason we ban is so you guys don't get shut off from Twitch. Okay. We don't want that.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can.
Thank you.
Should you choose to want to view this program, you can do it on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Good time for me to mention Dress Greg and to thank today's Dress Greg sponsor, which is Tedisco Services in Boston and in Salem. When it comes to towing, they are the towing experts at Tedisco. And so they donated money to the Greg Hill Foundation so that I would wear their shirt. And I am eternally grateful for that. If you want me to wear your shirt on Twitch or hat or whatever it is, then just go to thegreghillfoundation.org/dressgreg, make a donation. And I want to thank, yes, I didn't mention yesterday's Dress Greg sponsor,
right,
but it was the great Mike Boyle and Body by Boyle, one of the all-time great guys when it comes to helping athletes in this region, Mike Boyle. And he sent everybody a brand new pair of flip-flops,
yes,
because I have been dragged for my choice of footwear. So if you take a look at every single one of you, got a nice pair of new flip-flops
from
Boyle yesterday. And you can wear those. So you can Dress Greg anytime you want. All you have to do is go to thegreghillfoundation.org/dressgreg, and I will wear whatever you say I should wear. This is Calvin. Hello, Calvin.
Hey, what's up, fellas and lady?
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Kyrie Irving thing.
Yes.
Like, we all usually hate this dude. We hate everything that he says or does,
mm-hmm,
right? And that's probably why we can easily just say he's an idiot for doing this. But we actually need somebody to kind of stand up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what his reasons are. It doesn't matter all the tedious little things, you know, that are mixed up in it. But sometimes you need, in the village, you need to just burn one of the villagers to prove that everybody else is not a witch. So,
well, so, Calvin, are you somebody who has been vaccinated or is not vaccinated?
I ain't telling you that, bro.
All right, so you agree with Wiggy, where when you look at Kyrie Irving in this particular case, you buy that he is standing up for your workplace right or your individual right when it comes to making a decision about your own health. And you don't think he's grandstanding like he normally is.
I don't really care.
You don't care.
The point is that's why Courtney's argument sounded tedious. Because it doesn't matter what the reason is. The point is that somebody's doing it.
Well, the reason that came up, Calvin, is because Wiggy was the one placing a reason behind it. And we were disagreeing with Wiggy that I said that Kyrie never does anything but for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people are just a-holes.
Yeah, but I don't care about his reasoning.
This is September 15th on Twitter. My mask is off. Now take yours off. No fear. Kyrie, COVID doesn't care if you're scared or not, you idiot.
Like, yeah, I don't
What does
care.
That even mean?
I don't care about his reasonings. I don't care about his past. I don't care about what people, you know, what his beliefs are, what his thoughts are, anything like that. He's just doing something that, you know, he's standing up against government in this situation.
When has he said that?
I don't care. It's his actions.
You don't care. You're giving him
his
things that he hasn't said himself.
No, but I'm giving it based on his actions.
When it comes to Brooklyn, though, don't you think basically for them, this is the last straw with him? That's why they're doing this. I mean, they're basically saying, we don't want you. You're not playing at all for us until you get vaccinated. Until things change.
Until, I guess, maybe Brooklyn does what L.A. did and goes, all right, we got a mask mandate for every place but, you know, the Barclays Center.
I don't understand how Wiggy is so done with Brady, rips him constantly because he's no longer from here and he's somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving lied to your face before he left town after saying he wanted to have his number in the rafters here, and you love the guy. I don't understand it.
No, it's not that I love the guy. He plays
for Brooklyn. Let's ask the room. Does everybody think that that Wiggy likes Kyrie?
No, I'm willing to say when I see him do something that I agree
with. It's not this. Everything with Kyrie. You defend him constantly.
Well, this I agree with. what he's doing.
When have you ever ripped Kyrie?
I ripped Kyrie for, I forget what he said.
Right, exactly.
No, I can't remember what he said. I think it was when he was like, start a new league, let's start a league. I was like, that's stupid.
But you didn't rip him for leaving Boston and lying to the Celtics fans?
No, because I felt like that was him just being politically correct and at a
but season. But now he's not politically correct.
No, at a season ticket holder event. I look at it like this. When people have the balls to do something and then back it up with their actions, that's all I care about. Unlike you, Curtis, I don't need a million different reasons on their prior history. I just look at what is you doing in that moment? Are you making a difference? Well, and by that, I mean...
I don't think he's making a difference
at
all.
He's giving up a ton of money. He's willing to go out there and say...
Just because you lose money doesn't have anything to do with whether you make a difference
or
not.
Well, that's what he's saying, I'm willing to go out here...
Is he doing the right thing for his team and his teammates?
It doesn't matter.
Do you think his teammates are mad at him?
Some of them might be.
Yeah.
But it's about what he wants to do. So, you know who said it best was Draymond Green. He said it, I don't know if you heard, said it about teammates being mad and people being mad. This is Draymond Green said, would you criticize somebody who goes, I'm not playing because I'm going to see my wife give birth? And if you were their teammate?
No,
probably
okay,
not.
Okay, that's a choice that they're making for a medical choice for their wife, right? To go see their wife give birth and for their child. So Kyrie Irving is saying, I'm not playing because I'm not putting something or doing something that I feel isn't right for me to do, a medical situation. But yet you rip him for that.
But didn't we just say he's not doing it because of anything with the vaccine? He's doing it to stand up for the people.
Well, yeah, that's what some of the rumors are out there, whether you believe him or not. It doesn't matter why he's doing it. He's doing it. He's saying he's giving up money because he's unvaccinated.
But if you're a teammate of his, I think that's much different than a player going to go see their wife give birth to their kid because that's one game. This is a full season.
But it doesn't matter, though. Courtney, if I'm your teammate and you don't want to get vaccinated for whatever reason it is, what kind of teammate am I to look at you and go, wait a second, why won't you just get vaccinated so you can help the team out?
But
that would be me being selfish and not taking into consideration your thought process of what you felt about the vaccine.
But what if your teammate is a guy like Antonio Cromartie and he's leaving every week for the birth of a child?
No, that's, you know.
But that's why I'm asking you, because you have been in a locker room.
Yeah,
so
I wouldn't be upset.
You wouldn't be upset.
No.
If there were grand ideas about this team, that they were everybody's favorite heading into the season, and now you're losing one of your key guys for not one game, not two games, not half a season,
right,
a full season.
That I wouldn't be upset. If that's their choice. Why am I going to be mad?
I agree. It's their choice. This isn't about whether or not you should get the vaccine. I'm asking you a question.
And I said no.
Okay. So that's what
I think. That's stupid if I should be upset at a person for doing so. That would be like me going next door to my neighbor, knocking on their door, and being mad because they go to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
That is a horrible analogy.
No, it's not. I'm not.
What does that have to do with your life when your neighbor goes to bed?
But listen. This is his choice on what he wants to do.
Okay, for the 50th time, we know.
So why would you be mad?
Because it's hurting your team.
Okay, all right, so it's hurting your team. But he's making a choice on why he wants to do it. So you're upset at a guy who feels like he doesn't want to do something because it's not good for him physically.
No, I'm not upset. If he wants to get the vaccine or not, I don't care. I'm saying if you're a teammate of his and you are supposed to have this grand big season,
right,
and now it's going to be way less because of one of your key guys, I think some players in that locker room might be upset about that.
That would be selfish on their part. That would be selfish for them to be upset at somebody who was doing something because they felt like this is what they want to do. So it would be selfish it would be no different if a person had a certain religion and they felt like, I can't play on specific days.
I always feel the need when we are having these discussions to point out that you are vaccinated.
I'm vaccinated. This is the problem with it. Why am I, we're too concerned what the next person is doing and why are they doing it? How come they're not doing it? No, if this person, Kyrie Irving, chooses not to get vaccinated for whatever reason it is, and he's my teammate, and yes, he's one of the better players on the team, and he chooses not to do it for whatever reason, I'm not going to be upset at that man for the choices that he makes for something, whatever, why he feels it, on what he feels like is best for him. That would be selfish on my part. That would be like me saying to somebody who is a certain religion who says, I can't play, and me going, wait a second. You're putting the team in jeopardy. We need you. Put your religion to the side.
Interesting. All right. Tomorrow, we begin Bruins Thursday here at WEEI all season long. Mike Milbury back to work on this radio station. He will join us every Thursday. And Razor, Andrew Raycroft with Gresham Keefe tomorrow, and Jack Edwards with Lou and Christian. That is tomorrow, Bruins Thursday, here at WEEI. Here is Ken Laird and what is trending.
Mac Jones joins Maloney and Fourier every Patriots Monday.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
October is Subaru Loves Pets Month. Find out how you can help return the love pets give to us this month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com. And I know Curtis wanted to get in the Schefter nugget because this will make Wiggy happy.
Yes.
So we have new news on this. So about 20 minutes ago, Jemele Hill reacting to the story, which is that in one of the leaked emails in the Washington football team investigation was an email between Adam Schefter and Bruce Allen, the president of the football team. In the email, Schefter basically calls him, quote, Mr. Editor, and let me know whatever changes you want me to make on this story.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most emasculating thing I have ever seen, and I've been following sports my entire life.
Is it more emasculating than enjoying an Aperol spritz at the Capitol Grill on Marathon Monday?
Yes, I think Wiggy is securing who he is, and he seemed to enjoy it.
And those are very good.
Wiggy's Italian. It's an Italian drink.
Right. And it was a festive day. Come on. It's Indigenous People's Day. Don't you want a spritzer?
But this isn't that abnormal. There are a ton of reporters who have relationships with people in whatever in sports, and they're obviously going to defer to them. What can I report? What can I say? What can't I?
Mr. Editor.
Ken, he's buddies with him. That's how he gets his info.
I think it's a pathetic scene.
What did Jemele Hill say?
So Jemele Hill, my favorite journalist in America, replied, not really mentioning him, but mentioning him. I've been a journalist for over 20 years. I've never let a source proofread, preview, or edit any story. Majority of journalists I know have never done this either. This is a huge journalistic no-no. Young journalist, this is not how it's done.
What story has she ever broke?
She broke that she thinks Celtics fans are like Nazis.
Okay.
Kneel before Zod.
Now let's keep making Wiggy happy. Can we do that with
Rex,
with some Rex Ryan sound?
Okay.
This from ESPN. The question is, are the Patriots going to make the playoffs? And here's his answer to that and his Mac Jones commentary.
Are the Patriots a playoff team? Go.
Not no, but hell no.
Hell no, Rex.
Hell no. This ain't what you just because you got a pea shooter at quarterback. Give me a break right here. This team should have been beat by the Houston Texans right now. Now a playoff team? Playoffs? Is not as good as they've been. There's another one that should have been picked up. Hey, the ball travels down the field more than 15 yards. Uh-oh, that's bad news for this guy right here. He reminds me he's closer to Danny Warfel than he is Tom Brady.
Whoa.
Watch out! Watch out!
Alright. How many decades is Bill gonna live rent-free in that dude's head?
A lot.
Huh? Forever. Yep.
But Curtis loves him. Curtis says if Rex had Brady, he would have won six titles here.
Get out of here. He never said that,
yes,
did he?
Yes.
I mean, Rex's career with Mark Sanchez is much more impressive than Belichick's without Brady. It's not even close. He won four playoff games with Mark Sanchez. He beat Brady and Bill with Mark Sanchez at Gillette.
He's obsessed with the Patriots. It drives me nuts.
But he's a media boob in his 50s who can't get a coaching job.
But through week five.
Don't talk about yourself that way.
Are they a playoff team?
Are they a playoff team
through the first 5 weeks of the season?
No, I guess as I would question at this moment. If the playoffs were today, they are not a playoff team, Wiggy, to answer your question. No. But do Bill Belichick coach teams get much better when you get to the end of November and December?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, they do.
Absolutely.
Must win game this weekend, though.
No, this is a signature win game. If they can pull this one off, then I think they get a lot of fans to step off the ledge a little bit.
More football talk today. Gresham Keefe have Tom E. Curran and Maloney and Fourier with Rodney Harrison, 4:30 this afternoon. Red Sox and the Astros starting up Friday night. Game one's time has been set, Greg. It is 8 p.m., 8:07 to be exact.
That's all right. It's a Friday night. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. On Fox, maybe Joe Buck. I don't know. I don't know who's on the Fox call. Dusty Baker and the Astros in the ALCS for the fifth straight year. Pretty impressive. Just the third team to do that in the history of baseball. And they're the favorites, the minus 150 betting favorite. Early prediction on this series, Greg? You riding the underdog here?
I like the Red Sox chances. As I said earlier, I think they're playing for Alex Cora's redemption, and I think that's really powerful. And so, I mean, you look at this team, and you've had different guys step up when they need to step up over and over again. And I really like their chances. I was clearly down on the Red Sox for a large portion of this season. So perhaps I have no right to say it, but I like them.
This Astros team is stacked, though. Altuve, Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, Correa, Tucker, Yuri Gurriel. They are really good.
Okay, I mean, so if you have questions about the Red Sox, you're not concerned about the offense, right? The bats look good. The bats look good. You're concerned about pitching.
Yeah.
Right?
It's starting pitching.
Are you concerned about defense? I mean, you guys have been
not really. I'm not really.
Renfro uncorks one into the stands every other game.
I know.
Yeah, but
thank God for the backup on that play the other night. That's good baseball, Ken.
That was awesome. That Whitlock backup. That might have been.
That was fantastic.
Oh,
Rule 5 guy.
Didn't Renfro make a nice catch, though?
Like, he did. They make a really nice start of the game. First out of the game.
So I'm not, like, it's not really the defense. Who's your starting pitcher after Eovaldi? And can that guy go 4 innings? I think that's where the biggest concern is. Because even in the bullpen.
But don't you feel different about Erod now? Like, I feel way more confident about Erod.
I mean,
we were confident going into the last start.
Courtney and I were. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's wanting to shoot the bird to everybody around here that doubted him. And maybe he kind of stays on that.
That's what's trending now on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Must have listened to that song 47 times during the break to see whether he needed to cancel it or not. But it's Season Ticket. The misheard lyric is Season Ticket on a one-way ride.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, you may hear that differently as we were discussing earlier.
Well, you hear it a lot differently.
I got to say, Greg, it is October 13th. Oh, yes. My sister's birthday. Should send her something.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Kimberly. Gorgeous day, high of 75, abundant sunshine, and we're 2 days away from the Sox and the LCS. Unbelievable.
I know.
Total bonus playoff run. Nobody, I don't care what they're saying. Well, Wiggy might have predicted it. But
I did.
This is a bonus year, it feels like.
Well, no, and I'm in on Courtney's lead the other day, which is that Alex Cora, redemption is at hand for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the opportunity, if you're Alex Cora, to win it all without any kind of cheating allegation whatsoever tied into it. I mean, same with the Astros, right? I mean, the Astros, I guess, have the same advantage because everybody says that they've been cheating all along here.
Right.
Maybe perhaps their 5 straight appearances when it comes to the postseason would indicate such. But I think you're right about the fact that Alex Cora has a chance to completely redeem himself when it comes to any and all allegations about being a cheater.
Although some
say once a cheater, always a cheater. Mm,
I also think Eovaldi has some extra layer to this. I'm excited to ask him about it because he's from the area. He played in tournaments at Minute Maid Park in high school. Mm. So, you know, playing in front of your family, I'm sure it's much easier for his family, his friends from home to go to the game and then to go back and forth from a place that you know so well. I think that adds something to it, a little bit of sparkle, if
actually,
you will.
To that point, Rob Bradford did a story about this, but Eovaldi, when he was a free agent, was choosing between Houston or Boston. Those were his two choices and chose the Sox.
Yeah, I mean, Texter was questioning the fact that after one good start, we're back on board with Easy Eddie. But, I don't know. I listen to Lou when it comes to this stuff, and I was listening to Lou and Christian yesterday afternoon, and Lou was talking about how you saw a completely different pitcher
when it comes to E-Rod in that last outing.
Hey, it's Lou.
But I'm with Ken, though, on what Ken said. I think Ken was like, you're scared, but you're hoping.
What are you scared about?
I think you don't know what the starting pitchers are going to do outside of E-Rod, right? But they can also...
No, outside of Evaldi,
outside of Evaldi, right?
I'm afraid!
But you look
That's not true. You saw what Pivetta can do.
A starting pitching outside of Evaldi.
Pivetta came in and gave you four clutch innings.
Right, but I want
under pressure. I would absolutely make sure that Pivetta is a part of that starting rotation.
So why not start him in game two then?
I think you got to start E-Rod, and you hope to get whatever you're going to get out of him. If you get another, two plus, three plus out of him to start that second game, then great. And then maybe Pivetta starts game three. I don't know.
Pivetta started against Houston on June 2nd in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Six innings, two earned. Pretty good outing. 9 strikeouts, 2 walks. I think Pivetta's the guy based on that.
If I'm going to start E-Rod, I'm going to start him in game three.
At home.
Yes.
I was just going to say that. Do you think the home crowd had anything to do with his great performance?
I think so. I think there was a little bit of juice there.
I'm an outlier on this probably, but I want Tanner Houck to get a start as well.
You have a soft spot for Tanners.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, but I think he's like Bradford said this. He's really good in the bullpen. Like you know, if you have him and your starters don't do well, you know you can go to him.
This is David. Hello, David.
Good morning.
What's up, David?
That was quick. Usually, I get like a 10-minute wait.
Well, if you want, I could go to Joe or TC or Justin.
Oh, no, I appreciate the fine customer service today. Okay.
Well, that's what we focus on here, customer service.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I mean, not to be a Peter pessimist or Debbie Downer, but do we really expect the Red Sox bats to remain this hot after a 3 or 4 day layoff? I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle in Tampa, and I'll even give Cora credit. Many of his decisions, although rather unorthodox, questionable, they worked out in the end. But offensively, first of all, do we expect their bats to remain this hot? I mean,
How did they catch lightning in a bottle against the Rays? They got beaten up that first game, and then they had to do essentially what they did all season, which was come back and win baseball games. So
you expect them to put up 14 runs against the, six runs consistently?
Yeah, I do. I do expect. I said it earlier. I'm not worried about the bats. I'm not worried about the offense whatsoever. I worry about defense. And I worry about – I don't even
That's
worry –
another thing
I don't,
too.
I don't necessarily even worry about whatever the starting rotation is. I worry about the fact that Alex Cora, when it comes to the playoffs, is going to run out of guys on the starter turned reliever side of things that he can use.
Absolutely,
I mean that's,
he overuses them.
He does, but how did that work in 18? Worked pretty well, right?
Inexplicably, it defies logic. I mean, these guys' arms are going to fall off.
Yeah,
I mean it's just I mean, everything he does defies logic. But somehow, like I said, he's a cat that falls out of the window and lands on his feet.
No, but you end up with guys. All kidding aside about Whitlock being a Rule 5 guy, you seem to end up with guys on this team.
Are you going to do a Rule 5 draft party next year?
yes. But you seem to end up with guys who you didn't expect might show up in the role that you need them to show up in, and they do. Ken.
Well, yeah, and Bloom last year, speaking of Pivetta, there's a guy they got last year in a terrible COVID year, but plucked that one. That's a gem. The Kike signing, in hindsight, was awesome.
Right.
2-year deal, reasonable money.
And if you want to talk about days that they have off in between after catching, what did he say, lightning in a bottle, now they have 4 days off in between the two. They have one more day than the Astros have. So rest-wise, I think they're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think he's starting, guys. Now it's up to the pitcher to be able to go longer than 4 innings. I mean, in the game, I know there was a – I heard this on Lou and Christian yesterday with E-Rod. He only let up the one run, but he was able to get out of that inning. And then I think he let up a leadoff double, and then he pulled him right away. And the caller was saying, well, maybe Cora could have stuck with him.
Yeah, I heard that yesterday.
So I think if you look at that situation, maybe you can ask that question, should Cora have stuck with E-Rod? But other than that, when the pitches started, like when Sale started or when E-Rod started the last time, if you're getting dusted off like that, I mean, it's what do you expect Cora to do? He's got to go to his bullpen.
Well, yeah, and I think more so than maybe in recent memory, the crowd is a factor here. I mean, not to use Courtney's term, but that place has been electric. It really is. It's a difference maker, I think.
That's why
being
you,
at home.
That's why use that to your advantage with a guy that you've been talking about lacking energy this whole entire time, mm-hmm. looking like he doesn't want to be there. So put E-Rod in to start for game three in front of an electric crowd. Yeah. I think that's got to spark something. I mean,
maybe we should put a seafood tower in front of you every day, Greg, to inspire you. The Fenway for you.
These days, I get to the old ballpark a couple hours before and I stay a couple hours after, Kim.
Oh, it Zach Hempel just tackled a kid again trying to get a ball.
One quick addition to the redemption story. Do you think now the organization is totally off the hook for Mookie? Mookie's going to play tomorrow night. Obviously, mm-hmm. they won a World Series. But that trade now, you traded him a couple years ago, but something said the worst trade in the history of the franchise, and you're back in the Final Four.
Yeah. And you understand why, like, if you buy into why you went and got Chaim Bloom, which was the future, then he did exactly what you wanted him to do at trade deadline time, did not give up any of the prospects. Mm-hmm. But got you the help that you needed. And I was somebody who was all over him. I owe him some kind of a written apology, like a card or a Hallmark card or something like that.
A gift basket.
Yes.
Send something. You should send something.
I was all over the guy.
I am surprised by that.
And by the way, we were talking about improbable, most improbable title. People were mad because they said I jinxed them. Wouldn't be the first time. But do you remember what we did on opening day this year? We played a game. Is it a member of Biden's cabinet or a member of the Red Sox?
Oh, yes.
And people had no clue.
Yes.
Well, Ken, to your Mookie Betts point, there was a reporter, Molly Knight, who tweeted, remember when the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts, LOL, and she got dragged on the internet because people were responding, remember when the Dodgers traded Alex Verdugo, LMAO, and it was like terrible timing for her to send that tweet. But yes, so people are still talking about that.
I'm not sure I'd take Verdugo or Mookie, but still.
Right. Well, that was the counterpoint.
Yeah, no, I mean, I, Ken, you have said it many times. Is this now a baseball town? I think in many ways it is. I think I feel more excitement from fans mm-hmm. about this Red Sox team right now
right.
than I felt in previous Patriots playoff runs.
Well,
because I think the Patriots was expected.
Like, it was old hat.
Yes.
Oh, it's sad to say, but it kind of was.
When you're totally. The underdog, isn't that feeling better? It's total house money. Nobody expects you to win this series. I don't want the Red Sox to say that, but nobody thinks that. And so every game is like just a total bonus.
And it's so cool, and I know this sounds cheesy, but you can genuinely feel guys like Bogarts who are doing this for their manager. I mean, Bogarts, after they beat the Yankees in the one-game wild card with Buster on the field, was like almost crying and saying how much he wanted to win this game for Alex because of what he dealt with the year before.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want to ask Evaldi about that when he joins us next hour, because I do think it's a factor for these guys.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, players have that in them. You know, we talk to Ty Law, and it's like, you know, if a team trades you, you want to go back and you want to, you know, give it to that team. You know, Alex Cora, it's probably like for him, it's I was suspended. Everybody believes I'm a cheater. Everybody believes the 2018 Red Sox guys that were there were cheaters. Now it's our chance to prove everybody wrong. And Curtis brought up a great point. Very similar to when the Patriots were able to get back to their first Super Bowl in 2007 to prove to everybody it wasn't about Spygate.
And real quick, Greg, a great quote from Garrett Whitlock to Chad Jennings of The Athletic. If Cora told me to run through that wall, I'd believe he had something there to make sure it would fall for me. I mean, that's a hell of a quote.
Yeah.
Ken makes people run away from walls.
I mean, how can you not love Daddy Schwarbucks, as Courtney referred to him the other day?
Got to get paid before he gets that nickname, though.
Best coach in the city or manager.
Alex Cora, currently the best manager coach in the city.
Yeah.
Better than Bill.
I'd say right now. Yep. Bill.
If you think back to the trade deadline where we all killed Chaim, Chaim was right, we were all wrong. What did everybody say? Their big acquisition is Chris Sale. He's going to be the thing. Yeah. They didn't need to trade for anybody. Chris Sale has been a detriment to the team. and yet somehow they're in the ALCS after almost doing nothing at the deadline.
Some would say that means that Heim Bloom believed in this team.
Yeah.
Most.
Yeah, but then, you know, depending on how this series ends up, you can go back and say that maybe he didn't, because had he made one more significant move,
right,
then this team would have advanced. But we'll get to figure that out after this next series.
And if he did make a move, a significant move, maybe the questions that we have wouldn't be here right now is, who's going to pitch after Eovaldi?
Right.
I mean, if he made a move for a pitcher, we wouldn't be having this question. We'd be looking at it and saying, all right, this really is now a good team. They have a good, you know, good two starting pitchers. They're hitting the ball well, but we're questioning who's the starter after Eovaldi.
All right, game one of the ALCS, Red Sox, Astros, Friday night at 8. Tomorrow, quick reminder, it is the first Bruins Thursday of the season here at WEEI. That means that Mike Milbury will join us during the show. What time is Milbury tomorrow? 8 o'clock hour, we
believe? 8 o'clock hour, yeah. 8:30, I think.
Okay, 8:30. And our pal Andrew Raycroft, Razor, with Gresham Keefe, and Jack Edwards with Christian and Lou. That's a Bruins Thursday tomorrow. Quick reminder for Friday, Devin McCourty will join us during the 6 o'clock hour on a Patriots Friday here at WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.